Lord, this is a very familiar passage to so many of us. And we simply pray that you would so speak and we would so listen that we would hear what you want to say and take away that which you would wish us to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One or two reflections to ponder for you to begin with. Martha, verse 38, opened her home to Jesus. Hold on a minute. Whose home is this? I wonder what sort of relationship she and her sister have. Is it jointly owned, this one? Or is it mine, says Martha? We don't know, do we? But I'm just tickled by the fact that she opened her home. Maybe she thinks of it as hers. After all, I do all the work, don't I? Is she house proud? Is the home an idol? I'd love to know what the relationship is like between the two girls. Be a fly on the wall. Is Martha slightly bossy? Is Mary slightly lazy? We don't know, do we? We don't know. But the interesting thing is that it says of Mary, verse 39, that she's listening. And that's what we're sort of thinking about. Activists like Martha aren't always good listeners because we're busy doing. We're focusing on our activity. Now, some people, particularly the fairer sex, apparently, can multitask. It's not my gift, I have to say. But I often go round to my younger daughter's house where there are three little children, and she's extremely busy because she's also working. And she can be, I get there early on a Tuesday morning, about sort of 7:40. And she's busy running around and finishing off the packed lunches and making sure everybody's got what they need and so on. And it's not, I discover, a time to be talking to her because she's not listening. But she is quite a good listener. And sometimes, particularly when she comes home after work, even though she's a bit tired, she'll say to me, while she's doing something at the sink or something, I'm listening. But whoever you are, if you really want to listen and really hear, not just the words, the information, but what's going on underneath the words, you have to stop. Because although you may be able to multitask such that when you're doing something you can hear the information, you can't hear the feelings without stopping. So Mary sat, not trying to do anything else. And Martha says, well, we'll have tea and then I'll listen. I'm a little bit like Martha, I don't know about you. I'll just do this and I'll just do that and then I'll sit down and read or pray or whatever it happens to be. Anybody else do that? And we read that Luke calls it distraction. Martha was distracted. That is one of the things that stops us hearing God sometimes, isn't it? I find when I go on a retreat, this has been a conference this week, but we've had a lot of silence in it as well as a lot of talk. But when I go on a retreat, I find that it takes me, I don't know, a day and a half probably, to get into it to a place where I'm not distracted, where the other voices about all the things I've been doing and I've got yet to do actually begin to recede so that I can then hear the still, small voice. I guess many of us, when we go on retreat, find that. It takes a while. Martha is undoubtedly concerned that she produces a good meal and shows very good hospitality to her visitor. And I feel for her. I've got very dear friends coming to stay with me next weekend. You'll meet them. They'll come to church on Sunday morning. Now, I know it doesn't really matter, but you ought to see my spare room at the moment. In my little terraced house, it's my storage place. So I can't get at the bed yet. So I've got a busy week. because I want, they're so hospitable to me, and they live in a much bigger house and so on, but they, and they're not housebound and so on, but they always look after me wonderfully well. So I want to do the same, don't I? We all would, wouldn't we? But the trouble is you can get so wound up with it that actually other things seem to, that perhaps it might even be more important, seem to disappear, don't they? I love this phrase from Martha, "Don't you care?" I know that feeling. Look, I'm doing all this hard work. Lonely, maybe. Nobody cares. Nobody's on my side. I'd love to know, again, I'm just musing because it doesn't tell us, but where's Lazarus? Is he being even lazier? Is he out? Are there any children in the house? We don't know, do we? Maybe, can you just imagine it? Maybe Lazarus is around. And maybe the children, maybe there are children, maybe, we don't know, shouting around. And I'm trying to make tea! Can you feel for Martha? I can. But then, of course, Jesus says to me, I'm Martha for a minute, I'm not bothered about tea. So to begin with, I feel angry about that. Look, I'm going to all this trouble for you. You could at least be grateful. And he wants to get me to sit down and listen, to let go. But I can't just sit down. Oh, yes, you can, he says. I know you have things to do, but they can wait. This can't. And I realize that he doesn't want my food as much as he wants me. And he says he'll love me whatever the tea's like. In a way, you know, I'm jealous of Mary. I'd love to be able to allow myself just to sit and listen. But I find it so difficult to allow myself to do it. You see, Martha is the helper, always serving somebody. She's got a heart of gold. But she has to learn that she must allow Jesus to minister to her needs first before she can minister to others, or she'll have nothing to set before them. Marthas have great trouble saying that little N-word, the short one, you know. So they take on too much, and they get stressed, and they forget that they can't serve everybody. And one of the things that Marthas do is that they pay no attention to their own needs. After all, we're here to serve, aren't we? Yes, we are. If you asked a Martha what her needs are, she might not be able to tell you because she pays so little attention to her interior life, too busy serving others. And although Marthas are genuine in their desire to help, it's also the way that they massage their self-esteem. That sense of self-worth, which we all need, is bound up with how useful I am, says Martha, though she might not publicly say so. And that's why Marthas don't say no, because you might not love them anymore if they do. Marthas have to learn that they're loved for who they are, not for what they do. They battle very much with pride. Pride in how many people they help. And they don't mind people knowing that sometimes. But Marthas can be martyrs, resentful and jealous of Mary's. Everyone else is enjoying a glass of red and the nuts and the crisps, while she's working her backside off in the kitchen, as usual. But you see, Martha is just as responsible as Mary for the patterns that have developed in that home. And we all have to take responsibility for the patterns we allow to develop in our own lives, for better or for worse, don't we? Some Marthas are deeply if not jealous, they long to be a bit more like Mary. They'd like some silence and some solitude, but they're a bit scared of it because they don't quite know what might happen in the silence. Many of us on retreat have discovered things that we wouldn't have found any other way. And Martha sometimes won't allow themselves to be silent or to stop or to let go or to say no. Well, because I'm being self-indulgent, aren't I, when there is so much need around. I think I'm right in saying, but put me right if I'm wrong, that this is the only place in the New Testament where Jesus is ordered to do something. Around his trial, he probably is by the soldiers and things, but it's a different matter. Tell her to help me. Hell hath no fury like an overworked Martha who is feeling unappreciated. Luke doesn't tell us that Martha ever asked Jesus what he wanted. She was going to give him what she'd got. She took it on herself to make a big do. And sometimes Martha's need to ask, what do you want, Lord? And what do you want, my friend? Sometimes a Martha may think they're serving God by pouring herself out for other people. But actually, it's not what God wants, and sometimes it's not what the other person wants either. I read in a book I was reading recently about a pastor, I can't remember his name, and his wife, whose car was really coming to the end of its days. Some of us have been there, haven't we? There was a very dear lady in the congregation of the church he was serving who was quite well off and had a big heart. And she wanted to bless him and realize that something needed to be done. So she went out and bought a car. It needed to be a large estate car because it got children and so on. And she thought about it. And she brought it home and knocked on the pastor's door and said, there you are. Here are the keys. He was didn't know where to put himself, really. And it was wonderful of her, wasn't it? How would you have been if you'd been on the receiving end of that? It created certain problems for him with his fellow pastors who were knocking around in their beat-up old bangers. Oh, I see. Got a very serious benefactor, have you? Did cause him some problems. But various other things, certain things about the car weren't actually what they wanted or needed, because they hadn't been consulted, of course. And it cost them a bomb to insure and hardly did any miles to the gallon. So they still didn't. It wasn't easy. Sometimes Martha needs to stop and ask, actually, what would you like? And I'll fit in with that. Maybe God simply wants Martha's, or all of us, to relax in his presence and listen. And God will then show us in solitude what our own needs are, as he will to a Martha, and minister to them. Sometimes Martha's tendency to drop everything to help people in a crisis is more a defense against facing her own needs and the feelings that go with them, as it is an act of service. But pride won't allow her to admit it, of course. In their time with God, Martha's might like to ask the question, who am I when nobody needs me? Somebody asked me that question this week. Martha's can be quite lonely because they're so busy helping people. But, of course, the relationships where you're always the helper and they're always the receiver are not mutual, are they? Martha's can encourage dependent relationships. So we need to work on interdependence, don't we, in our relationships, and to accept myself, yourself, Martha, as you are. And know that you're loved unconditionally by God and by his people. And the path towards it is the path of humility, allowing others, a few, to see you as you really are. And then you find, actually, that you are loved for who you are. I'm very fond of Martha. How do I know so much about her? Because she's my sister. And I'm just a Martha. And every one thing I put down there is true of me. It may be true of one or two of us here. Some of the things. But I think Jesus loves Martha as much as he loves Mary. But he wants us to be a bit of both, doesn't he?